If you have your Bibles this evening, I'd ask you to open up to the book of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 is a passage of Scripture that I've been trying to figure out when was the last time I've preached on this, and I really don't know. It definitely goes out of order from the events of what we are looking at. Tomorrow, we'll be looking at the birth of Christ, Christmas morning. But tonight we're kind of jumping ahead. We're jumping ahead of the events, and we're looking at something that ties in with the baby dedication that we just did a few minutes ago. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 21, the Bible says here, and this is after the birth of Christ, when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. At first, what takes place here, it may seem like just rote obedience to the Torah, to the law that had been passed down for generation after generation. And it may seem just like the normal ceremonies that took place, and we may miss out on the significance of those ceremonies. Even though Jesus was a baby and had chosen to come into this world in human form, everything that was done to Jesus in this account here, it was orchestrated by God for a purpose. It was obediently observed by godly parents, and it offered an early glimpse into why Jesus came. Tonight, the babies that were dedicated to the Lord, these parents, what the Lord has for these parents is as much of a mystery to them as it is to any of the rest of us. And we kind of get to watch it unfold as the years progress. But we know why Jesus came. And we know that everything that was done to Jesus in this dedication had significance. It had purpose. There's actually 3 ceremonies that took place in this. The first ceremony that took place was the circumcision of Jesus, and it was the fulfillment of Old Testament covenant. If you will, keep a marker here. Let's go to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 12, and let's see where this was first instituted. In Leviticus chapter 12 tonight, verses 2 and 3. In Leviticus chapter 12, let's just start with verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days according to the days of the separation. For her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Jesus was born under the old covenant. Now, that's hard for us to imagine because we're looking at the story in the Gospel of Luke. But you realize that the first parts of the Gospels are still Old Testament. It's still old covenant. The new covenant doesn't come into the place until the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He brought the new covenant in with his blood. So prior to that, Jesus is born under the Old Testament covenant. And it seems strange maybe to see this taking place. But what happens is that early on, Jesus identifies himself as a Jew under the nation of Israel, under the promises that God had made to that nation. Hold on to that for just a moment because there's an even deeper purpose. The second thing that takes place is Mary's purification. Keep reading here in the book of Leviticus chapter 13 or chapter 12. Look starting in verse 4 what it says. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. But if she bear a maid child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks as in her separation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest. all had to go through this after childbirth. Every woman went through this. They were declared by Old Testament practices as being unclean. There was a reason for this. There was a reason for the time that it took for their purification. By the way, the Old Testament way of doing things was established 3,000 to 4,000 years earlier than the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so all of these things are going to come into play in the dedication of Jesus. But for 3,000 to 4,000 years, this picture has been going on all the time. Every time a child is born, that the mother is set apart for a time, and then for her purification, she has to come, she has to bring the sacrifice, the sin offering, and all this before she can ever enter back into worship in the temple. Over and over, the story is repeated for 3,000 to 4,000 years, so that when the time that Jesus comes into this world, it happens again, just like normal. But what was the reason for it? Hang on to that. Here's the third ceremony. After the days of purification were fulfilled, Jesus is presented in the temple. It's his day of dedication. Now, you look back in the book of Exodus chapter 13 and verse 2. You don't have to turn there. But if you was to go back and read Exodus 13 and verse 2, the Bible said that every male child, the firstborn male child, had to be dedicated to the Lord. And that was the beginning of the priests for the nation of Israel. It's not until Exodus chapter 28 verses 1 and 2 where the Lord establishes the tribe of Levi to be that priestly group of people. All of this may seem very ceremonial, and you wonder, why are they doing this? All of this was taking place because it was a part of the law. Do you remember what Jesus said concerning the law? In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Every one of these Old Testament ceremonies is a part of the law. It is an incomplete picture that was given and was practiced repeatedly over and over and over. And maybe the people are wondering, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? When Jesus Christ comes into this earth, Jesus doesn't come to do away with the law. He comes to fulfill it. He comes to complete the picture. He comes to put the last piece of the puzzle into that picture so you can see what it was all about. So as we consider this, consider what Jesus' dedication meant. Jesus' dedication is a reminder that he came to this earth on a mission. The whole idea of a dedication, those who were dedicated in the temple, they were given over to the work of the Lord. They were dedicated for a purpose. They had a job to do. And Jesus came with a job to do. Look with me back in the book of Luke chapter 2 and verse 49. Luke chapter 2 and verse 49. In Luke chapter 2, verse 49, the Bible says here, "And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" This is that one of those rare glimpses into the childhood of Jesus. And it's when the parents lost him. How many of you as parents ever lost your child in a store? How did that feel? A few of you from time to time have forgotten a child at church. And so we got to keep them for a little bit. And called the parents, say, "You missing anybody?" "Oh yeah." Whoop, back they come to get their kid. Imagine coming out of the city at this particular time. Where's Jesus? And they just thought maybe, well, he's with some of the relatives. He's traveling with the other people. Where did he go? And when they can't find him, they turn around and they go back. And they find him there in the temple. And he says, "Didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business?" He wasn't talking about Joseph. That really wasn't his dad. That was his adoptive father. But his dad, the Lord God Almighty, he says, "Didn't you know that I'd be about my Father's business?" Take a look in chapter 19 of Luke and verse 10. What was the Father's business? In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. In fact, start in verse 9. Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That was the mission Jesus came on. Jesus came dedicated. He was dedicated to do that job. He was focused on it. Never once in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ does he deviate from that. Never once does he stray. Never once does he lose focus of the purpose that he had. Everything Jesus said, every miracle that he did, every lesson that he taught, every time that he set the disciples aside, every time that he dealt with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, his focus was the gospel and what he had come to do, to seek and to save the lost. You know, Christmas thinks about the nativity. And Christmas is one of those serene, pretty scenes, right? I mean, aren't all your Christmas cards, aren't they all a pretty scene? And it's just like you look at them and everybody go, aw. And you read the little message inside and you go, aw. And that's how we feel about Christmas. But do you realize that really ended the prettiness of Jesus coming to this world? Because it's not long before, even as a child, Jesus is hunted by Herod. They want him dead. His ministry is met with mocking and ridicule and unbelief. Attempts were often made on his life. Eventually, it took Jesus to Calvary, where Jesus met the most gruesome scene imaginable. This is why Jesus came. But it goes even further than that. Another ceremony that took place was Mary's purification, and that's a reminder that we are all born in sin. We're all born in sin. Mary was separated from worship until she was purified. Sacrifices were needed for her purification. She needed to be made clean. She needed to be made whole. Turn your Bible to Psalm chapter 51 and verse 5. Notice what the Bible says. David says this about himself, but applies to everybody. In Psalm 51 and verse 5, the psalmist says here, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." You say, well, that's all well and good for David. That's all well and good for you and I. It's all well and good for Mary. But that doesn't apply to Jesus. And you're absolutely right. Jesus came into this world sinless. Jesus was and is totally without sin. But when Jesus came into this world, he identified with you and I. And he who knew no sin, the Bible says, became sin for us. And do you realize that Jesus Christ was kept out of worship with his Father for a moment because of sin? You say, where'd that take place? Remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross and he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why would he be praying something like that? It's because he took your sins. He took my sins upon himself. That's what the nativity is all about. Jesus came to dedicate himself for that very purpose, to die on the cross for us and then to be knocked out of worship, something he had never known before. He had never known what it was to be forsaken by his heavenly Father. But momentarily he was, and it was because of you and I. Here's something that's kind of ironic. Mary's blood was sinner's blood, and she needed to be purified. Jesus' blood was Savior's blood, and his blood did the purification. Go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. Just as Mary had to bring a sacrifice for her purification, the sacrifice was needed for our purification. And in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, "Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." The word purged is the exact same word in the original language as purification. We were purified. Our sins were purged with the blood of Jesus. That's why Jesus came. But then the final thing, Jesus came so that we all might be circumcised. Now, that's a strange thing to say, isn't it? But look with me in the book of Colossians, chapter 2. All of these physical ceremonies had a spiritual purpose. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. The Bible says, "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him, through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and your uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Jesus wants all to be saved. When we are saved, we are described as those who have been circumcised in the heart. It took the nailing of our sins to the cross, the blood of Jesus purifying our sins, the resurrection of Jesus canceling the debt and having the power to make us new. That's what Christmas is all about. I know we like the sense of peacefulness and serenity and all of that, and that is good and it's fine. But never forget why Jesus came. And this dedication ceremony, the purification of Mary, the offering of these sacrifices, the circumcision of Christ, all of it was a fulfillment of the law. Jesus came to fulfill it in himself for you and me. Tonight, if you're here and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we're going to be observing the Lord's table here in just a moment. And these elements remind us what Jesus Christ came to do for us. And if you are here this evening, you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're living in an obedient life to Him. First thing we do in obedience is we have followed the Lord in believers' baptism. We've got Bryant and Nicole, they're going to be getting baptized next Sunday. Not tomorrow, following Sunday. Looking forward to that. Husband and wife following the Lord and believers' baptism. That is awesome to think about that. That's obedience. Tonight you say, well, yeah, I'm saved. I've never done that. Well, you're living in disobedience. Or maybe you're saved and baptized and there's other things in your life that aren't right. You say, well, that's okay. I should take the Lord's table anyways because it's part of the ceremony, it's part of the night, and all that kind of stuff. Don't you dare. The Bible gives a warning in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that we are supposed to have examined ourselves, and we are to eat of the Lord's table in a worthy manner. We are to have our lives right with God before we partake of that, because it's the communion table. We are saying, I have in common with Christ the life of Christ, not just new life in Christ, but the day-to-day living that life. No, none of us are perfect. Don't we wish we were? But certainly we are to be living a life pleasing and honoring to the Lord. But tonight, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. Because this is why Jesus came. What a waste if you just go through Christmas and you make it all about the nativity, you make it all about gifts and presents and family, but you don't remember why Jesus really came. And you miss out on knowing Him as Savior. Stand with me, please, with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, tonight, as we come into a moment of invitation, You know our hearts. You know those that belong to You that have trusted Jesus as Savior. And Lord, You know every person that's here this evening that needs to. And tonight, Lord, we would just pray that that lost soul would hunger and desire to know Jesus, first and foremost above all things, and that we would have the privilege of leading them to You tonight. But even as believers tonight, Lord, maybe there's things in our life that just aren't right and things that need to be made right with You. May we use this time of invitation to get those things right. We pray it in Jesus' name.